worked our way up through the Gospel of John. We're coming across some verses that we all know quite well. But this particular passage tonight is a real blessing because Jesus Christ is giving us his choice of which Old Testament event to use as an illustration of salvation. And that's here in chapter 3, verse 14, where Jesus says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So lifted up is our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts to teach and grow us tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be here and ask you to meet with us. And we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Christ, of all the Old Testament events he could have chosen, he chose this one. Isn't that interesting? Now, of course, other parts of the Bible point back to the Passover that took place in Egypt, because Jesus is our Passover. But Jesus himself here is speaking, and he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So that means we have to go to Numbers chapter 21 and get an understanding of what Christ is referring to and how that is for us an illustration of salvation today in Christ. So Numbers 21, down to verse 7. The Bible says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So, of course, we know what a serpent represents in Scripture, and that is the devil. And so that is the cause, is that the devil has caused man to sin and has brought pride into mankind. But also that Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, became sin for us, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So as Christ hung on the cross, God laid the sins of the world on him, but he also became sin. And we know about the 3 hours of darkness that took place when Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And for those 3 hours, Jesus Christ became sin. But it says that when these people were bitten by the serpents, and that was for disobedience, God told Moses to take this brazen serpent and put it on a pole and raise it up. And if people were to look at it, they would be healed of their snake bite. So if you go to Isaiah 45, what Jesus is trying to teach us is that he was lifted up on Calvary and that we have been bitten by the snake, amen, Satan. And he's given us a sickness called sin. And without help, we are going to die of that sickness, right? God told Adam and Eve, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And if we physically die without Christ, we will eternally die in the lake of fire, as the Bible teaches. Now here in Isaiah 45, notice verse 21, the Bible says, "Tell us and bring them near." I'm sorry, "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." So notice God says, "I am the Savior, and there's no other Savior but him." And then he tells us in verse 22 to look unto him and be saved. So we can look at Calvary, we can look at Christ and place our faith on Christ and be saved. So it shows us a lot of things. It shows us, first of all, that salvation's not complicated, is it? And it isn't. And it was complicated for God, and it cost a lot for the only begotten Son to die in our place. But the world tries everything else but looking to Jesus for their salvation. You know, if you tell people, well, you know, it's pretty complicated getting to heaven. We'll give you, if you'll follow these seven sacraments, we'll get you there. And over a billion people say, well, I'll do that. I'll do the seven sacraments. Or others will say, well, if you knock on enough doors, we'll get you there. They say, oh, I'll do that. Others say, oh, if you believe all these fairy tales that we're going to teach you and be faithful to our teachings, we'll get you to heaven. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, all that. Then you tell them, well, if you'll just repent of your sin and believe on Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary for you and rose again from the dead, and ask him to save you, he will. Oh, I can't do that. That's too easy. It's amazing, isn't it? And that's because man wants to have a part in his salvation. Man wants, because of his pride, he wants to be able to say, I got myself there. And we know we can't. We have to say, I can't get myself there. I'm a sinner going to hell. Only God can get me there. No pride involved. So the world has a lot of snakebite kits, I call them. Right? Works, New Age religions, church membership, evolution, baptism, we could go on and on. All these things that people try to get healed from their snake bite, which is sin, given to us by the devil through Adam and Eve. We got bitten, and we were born, by the way, with this sickness. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, Romans 5:12. So we all have this sickness. And people try everything out there to try to get healed of it. And there is only one way to get healed, isn't there? And that's Jesus Christ. And so he told us that there in verse 15. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him. There it is. Whosoever believeth in him. God doesn't give us a bunch of alternative ways to get healed of the snake bite. He gives us one. These Israelites weren't given a list of ways to get healed of being bit by these fiery serpents. They were given one. Now, did everybody look at the brazen serpent and get healed? Most likely no. I can hear people saying, oh, that's too easy. Kind of like Naaman. Go dip in the Jordan River seven times. How dare he? That's too easy. And why the Jordan? Why not some other river? So Christ said, if you want to understand salvation, see the brazen serpent, brass, and all Old Testament pictures, brass pictures, judgment. You know, you have the laver, which was brazen, right? So brass pictures, judgment. Jesus Christ became sin. That's why it's a serpent. And he hung on a pole for us, which is, of course, Calvary, the cross. But that was what God chose, to point to the Old Testament to say, and as Moses lifted up the serpent. So go back and understand what happened. They got bit by snakes for disobedience. God said the only way to get healed was to look at that serpent. Our only way to get healed is to look to Christ. And Jesus chose that for us. So he says, back to our passage, John 3:14, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up. You know, we're told in Psalm 22 that the prophecy was given that his hands and his feet would be pierced. And then if you look at John chapter 8, while you're in John, Jesus mentions it again, John 8 verse 28. Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. So there it is. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He's prophesying there of Calvary. Now, they didn't know this at the time. Then go to John 12, and we'll see it again. Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die, that he would be lifted up, that he would be crucified. So Jesus said, I will be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And the people got healed by believing that the serpent could heal them or by looking at the serpent that could be healed. We can be, if you go to, back to John 3, verse 15, he says, we can be healed by what? Believing in him. That's what he said. Whosoever believeth in him. What does that mean? It means to trust Christ. We've looked at that in Ephesians 1 and other places. God equates trusting with believing. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life in John 6, 47. It's all about believing. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas how to be saved, what did they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So Jesus says, he that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish. Not perish. In other words, not be eternally killed by the consequences of our sinfulness. Not perish. To go to the lake of fire forever is to perish. And we, that perishment, that's probably not a word, is removed through salvation. Praise God. Look at John 5:24, and we'll see this. Another word that God uses here is condemnation. Notice John, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Look at the last phrase, John 5:24, and shall not come into condemnation. We've already been condemned, we're told over in John 3:36. God removes that condemnation when we are born again through Jesus Christ. The alternative, of course, is to perish. And sadly, many will, because they did not trust Christ. The alternative, verse John 3:15, is eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. So go to John 11. When Jesus says eternal life, you know what he means? You know what it says in the Greek? Eternal life. There you learn something tonight. It means life that will last forever, but when does that start? Does he say you will have it in the future, or that you get it when you get saved? It's a present possession, isn't it? Eternal life. So if Christ, when we get saved, gives us eternal life at that moment, and then, as many churches teach, you can later on lose your salvation, it wasn't very eternal, was it? It was temporary based on your behavior. Where does the Bible say that? Notice Jesus says, John 11:25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So when Jesus says eternal life, he means we're never going to die. We're going to live forever from the day that we're born again and receive life. That's it. There is no end. We have life from that point forever. Eternal life. What a blessing that we can receive eternal life by trusting Christ. Romans 6:23, most of you know it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. God gifts it to us. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it. It was already paid for. He gifts it to us when we trust Christ and ask him for it. And that is the beautiful promise of eternal life. 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So praise the Lord. Jesus pointed us back to this event with Moses and the brazen serpent, to say, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And we, one day, were told the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we were drawn to him. Amen? The Holy Spirit drew us to Christ, and we trusted him. And at that moment, we received not temporary life, eternal life. And we still have it, and we will always have it. Isn't that beautiful? If I be lifted up, How sad that many are not willing to look at the serpent, the brazen serpent which Jesus became when he hung on Calvary. They'll do everything else, try to keep the Ten Commandments and everything else, but they won't just trust Christ and receive eternal life.